Hello, I'm Arnold Hamilton, editor of the Oklahoma Observer.
And I'm Marianne Martin, and this is ObserverCast, your weekly deep dive into Oklahoma politics and policy,
presented by the Mary Lou Lemon Foundation.
Well, well, well. Here we are, less than a month before Oklahoma's 700,000 public school children return to the classroom, and the state superintendent stands credibly accused of having porn on his office TV.
Heaven to Betsy.
On during a closed-door executive session of the State Board of Education? Naked women? Ooh, naked. That's how Jim Hightower pronounces it. It's naked, in this case, naked women. Glimpsed by two members of the board who could not immediately believe what they were seeing? Oh, my goodness. Well, we don't know how this is all going to play out, of course, but could there be a more fitting way for Ryan Walters' political career to come to an end? That's the subject of the day. For Marianne and me, and the erstwhile Cal Hobson is joining us to discuss what the hell is going on here.
We just can't help ourselves.
No, we can't. That's oh my goodness. You know, Schadenfreude reigns at the Observer offices right now over all this. My Lanta. There's so many implications here. Implications for Ryan Walters. I don't know what you'd call his political career. You know, meteoric.
Patient.
I don't know his
implications. Failing to launch.
Implications for Oklahoma's public schools, which have just, you know, he's done everything he can do to destroy. Implications for the 26th. Governor's race. He's not an announced candidate, but you know, a lot of people who have trouble dealing with Wrecking Ball Ryan are worried to death that he's a guy who could sneak through with the Republican nomination if he got to the, you know, to the August runoff. Good Lord, folks, what are we doing with this, Cal? This is one for the ages, isn't it? You almost couldn't make it up, except it's just too perfect for Ryan Walters.
Fiction's always stranger than fiction.
Yes.
Typically in Oklahoma, as a general rule, I would say.
It's hard to top your description. It's even more impossible to offer the irony in several camps and several possibilities. Think this through for a minute. Besides I watched, by the way, just by accident, most of the State Department of Education board meeting prior to them going into and coming out of the executive session. And I was just stunned at his arrogance, when the new members ask, can we do this or could we do that or should we or whatever. He just said no. It's stuff, they would read him stuff out of the statutes that were very directive in what could and could not happen. And he would say, well, that's not what we're going to do. And his new lawyer, I have no idea who he is, but he was, I thought, completely inept as a lawyer in how he dealt with the entire situation. But then, of course, that's just politics, and that's just Ryan Walters. But then, here you go. They go into this closed session. Most everybody in the world now knows what happened there, apparently. These are just lay citizens who have been appointed by the governor to the board, and, you know, one of the excuses can be, I presume, and they've already trotted this one out, that they're bad people there to destroy Ryan Walters and all that. That's going to be a really hard sell with with the public on that deal.
My God, it's like getting into Fort Knox over there these days. Apparently, I mean, the notion that somebody could slip in and, surreptitiously turn on his television to something inappropriate like that is just.
Well, I've already written that another scenario could clearly be. I've written several. One would be the butler did it. Number two, the lawyer said it was legal. Number three, a woke janitor was slipped in the night before and inserted the tape, et cetera, et cetera. None of which have any validity. So there you have it. Whatever happened, obviously, is if it's not terminal politically, I don't know why. My question to the Speaker of the House in another document I wrote was, if you're not going to initiate impeachment hearings over this transgression, what would it take for you guys to say enough is enough? Is it so important that you have an R behind your name and he has an R behind his name that you're going to say, as I think he said, well, there ought to be, or perhaps there should be, or I urge that there be an investigation. There are adults circling this situation also over and above the political animals in the legislature that I suspect are going to weigh in on this issue. People like the Attorney General of the state of Oklahoma, people like the District Attorney of Oklahoma County. So you have all those factors. I've prattled on here too long, but there's no clear next step except I can't come to a methodology that allows this guy to A, survive politically, and B, identify any friends, because I don't think he has any.
Well, I mean, and to kind of push that a little bit further too, his response is absolutely asinine. You know, to blame the, you know, that it's some a political agenda and that they're being dishonest. I mean, it just screams of mendacity, you know? I mean, it really just, it's like he's flailing to respond to this. Because if it was a mistake, then she'd be like, hey, I don't, you know, I mean, just be like completely honest with it. Although my problem with all of this is the fact that this is what it takes for Republicans to be outraged.
Good point.
Well,
good point.
Because he has been crooked and corrupt, grifting the Oklahoma left and right. In the name, you know, using the name of Jesus as a part of it, and the fact that there may have been porn on the screen in his office is what has really like have them clutching their pearls finally.
Oh, I wondered how long it would take to get that phrase in here. I'm so glad you said that, because that is just,
oh my,
that is the perfect. But can I play devil's advocate here for just a second? This is a Republican Party that thinks, you know, pardon me for saying it, pussy grabbing is okay.
Right.
You know, on the one hand, you know, and while they're clutching their Bibles with the other, I guess, presumably, but, you know, although in Trump's case, it was upside down. You remember? When
metaphorically, that's a horrible thing to think about.
I know.
All
I
right.
Know. But I'm not even sure this could be enough necessarily.
Really?
To depose him. Maybe. I don't know. I the old line historically, you know, Democrats fall in love and Republicans fall in line. They certainly have fallen in line with Donald Trump. And I don't think, you know, obviously Ryan Walters doesn't carry the heft that Donald physically and metaphorically that Donald Trump does. So, you know, maybe he is more expendable. I've long thought that Ryan, he was so full of himself and so convinced that he had arrived, that when the screw up happened, when the big one happened and it his career was on the line, he would be stunned to discover that all these people who had been funding him and you know, making this all possible for him, would just simply turn around and move on to somebody else.
Exactly.
And that would be the end of it. And I, you know, I wonder if this is one of those where they go, eh, okay, all right, we wrote him as far as we could. He did a lot of things we wanted done in terms of attacking public education and, you know, creating havoc and moving us toward for-profit, you know, or religious and or religious schools, that now they're, you know, they think, okay, we'll move on and find somebody else. There's another Ryan Walters or Janet Barisi out there.
That really is a devil's advocate position, because let's say that they come to that conclusion that, we all know, we all agree, whatever we agree on, but we got bigger fish to fry. Just envision the State Board of Education meeting for the next 10, 11 months. Can there be any focus on anything except this guy sitting there pontificating about, we want to teach patriotism. We want to hire this yokel from Arizona to come in and virtually teach us about the Bible and God and Jesus and all that. I just don't know how the repubs can have that as their standard bearer related to 704,000 children in Oklahoma in 540 schools. They can't survive that, I don't think, with the general public. But maybe I'm wrong and people will just say, this is what we expect from politicians.
I mean, you can't, well, okay, like, in the logical mind, right, you can't you can't try and revoke the license and get a principal fired because he does drag in his spare time.
Yes.
Good point.
And then, you know, try to put Bibles in every classroom and then have a little oops with, you know, two naked ladies up on the screen during executive session. I feel like, honestly, it's encouraging that we're actually seeing the leader of the House and the leader of the Senate say something, you know. But I mean, I just am shocked that it wasn't all the graft and corruption and misuse of taxpayer dollars that did it, you know, like the overreach of government into the lives of individuals through the State Department of Education, the very active indoctrination through the State Department of Education that Republicans rail against.
Exactly.
You know, trying to put, you know, what people do in their own spare time, making it a matter of the State Department of Education, and then just let this pass. So I think it will be, I think maybe he'll just kind of like go be put to pasture, because he hasn't announced for governor yet. It's just been whispered. And I just can't see that. I can't see him announcing for governor at this point.
Well, there's another individual, if I may, that we have not mentioned that could put an end to this as early as this afternoon or Monday, depending on whether he's grown any or not, or wants to go ahead and execute the guy.
Put him out of his misery.
and that would be the guy that raised him, Governor Stitt.
Yep.
You know, Stitt could have a press conference this afternoon and say, this is unacceptable, unbelievable, cannot prevail. He must resign now. And if he doesn't, I'm going to urge the legislature to impeach him. What other grounds do you need except what we saw in the privacy of his office with board members observing it? I mean, where is Stitt this weekend? He's never been reluctant to go after his Democratic perceived enemies. I don't know. Has he had anything to say about this? Has Walters
Certainly
himself
haven't heard anything. Yeah.
said anything about it? Or didn't he just trot out his mouthpiece and have him say, oh, it's a conspiracy? Isn't that all that he's said?
I honestly feel like, I mean, someone was mentioning too how you haven't heard anything from like the Dusty Devers of the legislature, you know, and I really think that it's possible that there's so much secondhand embarrassment over this. Because they know that like they are, you know, of the same cut from the same cloth.
Yep. Yep.
In terms of their demagoguery, you know, and zealotry.
Well, yeah, I can't help but think that Kevin Stitt, again, who created this monster,
right?
Even though they've split the sheets some time ago, apparently, Stitt's trying to figure out what his next gig is. He's looking for someplace else to
He just
land.
left the mortgage business after he.
No, and I don't think I'm not buying the OSU presidency thing. I'm just not. I think he thinks, you know, he should be in D.C. in some big position or something. There's something there, and so he's trying to figure out a way forward here, and that's a problem for Gentner Drummond too, I think here, because as I mentioned in the opening, there are those who believe, and I happen to be one of them, that a Walters Drummond runoff would be very tricky because of the low turnout in a late August runoff next year, and the MAGA crowd that is Ryan Walters' base, you know, turns out come hell or high water or 115 degree temperatures, you know, heat indexes, it doesn't matter to them.
Yep.
And so if he goes after Walters, you know, does he turn Walters into, you know, some sort of a victim of, again, the deep state trying to, you know, to get him out of office and you know, pave the way for a Drummond, although they don't trust Drummond either. So I don't know how you can lump him into the deep state, but, you know, and maybe that is why they would lump him into the deep state. But it seems like it's even trickier for someone like Gentner Drummond, for whom this would be a natural thing to say, we're going to investigate and we're going to take it to a grand jury or whatever. If
that's exactly right. Gentner Drummond is not only a candidate for governor, but unlike McCall, who is a banker and has money, Gentner Drummond is the chief law enforcement officer for the state of Oklahoma. I don't know how he just sits there in Pawhuska or wherever he might spend his weekends and not have some response or some activity in his own official duty as the chief law enforcement officer, because I'm presuming a television in the office of a statewide elected official is using electricity. It probably is the property, perhaps, of the state of Oklahoma. There's perhaps a connection, some cost to showing whatever was being shown. I mean, I don't know how you just ignore that if you're Gentner Drummond. You can't. So he's got to have some response. The reason I think this is so deep and different than the other indiscretions that you've talked about concerning Walters, I mean, he's done plenty to be tossed out of office for a number of reasons, but think this through. What's got Trump in trouble? The MAGA crowd, the holier than that crowd, the thing that's got them worked up is, oh my God, they molested little girls? Now suddenly, you know, Clinton did it, we thought. Our guy, whoop, my God, it's him. They can't turn loose of it. This is a variation on that same theme of morality in office, porn on a TV. I don't know how the MAGA crowd, regardless of how much they like the other nonsense he says, I don't know how they stay with him any more than the MAGA crowd, the true believers, can drop ever the demanding that they finally know whether their guy molested little girls or not. I see the correlation.
No, I think you're I mean, that had to be said, right? Like, the whole thing with the list, the Epstein list, the Trump administration's absolute bungling of it, and the pretty rock solid, connections between Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. The fact that it really has the Trump administration on the rails, on the ropes. Maybe there is a line, and it's just I mean, for just to kind of follow this thought through, the idea of sexual deviancy, the threat of se sexual deviancy is like at the heart of all the fears of white Christo-fascism, right? So, and pornography and homosexuality, are very much like at the center of the excuse for elevating, the goals and the objectives of white Christo-fascism, right? So it's not about exploiting women's bodies in the like childbearing sense, right? That's nothing, right? They don't mind that because that's what our only purpose is. But this idea of sexual deviancy being like perhaps the nail in the coffin, maybe that is the Rubicon for Republicans.
That's what I was trying to say. Well
Yeah.
said. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Again, we don't know how this is going to play out, how messy it could
If
get,
it does at all.
if it does at all. Yeah, exactly. So what do Democrats do in a situation like this? Do they just let Republicans sort of deal with it all, all the focus being on Republicans and why they are or aren't doing anything about this kind of misbehavior at that?
Well, as you know, the leader in the House, minority leader, in her press release, which I think actually came ahead of or almost immediately after Speaker
Oh,
Hill,
I think it was before.
yeah, I do too, something along the line
I'll
of,
double check while we're talking.
okay. I urge or I follow, or I agree, I hope that Hilbert will pursue the investigation. This needs to be investigated, all that.
No, you're right. You're right. Hilbert was out just moments before
And
Leader Munson. Yes.
I don't think they could beat this horse to death in this particular case. This has real gravitas. This is something that Billy Bob at Ruby's Cafe in Pocillo, he's talking about our grandchildren. He's messing with our kids. This is unacceptable. I
Did you
don't
drop by Ruby's this morning to just sort of check the pulse? I'm just out of curiosity. Saturday mornings at Ruby's, you can learn a lot.
Well, okay, the polling data there was 94 to 2, and the other two were drawn and quartered out in the parking lot. So it's pretty intense, and the Democrats cannot let this just die out like another, banning a book scandal. That's one thing.
Right. I
This
mean,
is.
honestly, I completely agree. And, and if the Republicans don't stand up and fully disavow themselves from this, I think the Munson campaign definitely has something to make hay with, right? That they are in fact not and trying to protect our children. They are not in fact trying to protect our schools because they let a man like this stay in charge of it, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
And but I have to say, like so I think as a Democrat, we try and be careful about how we talk about pornography and regard pornography. Because we have very different views from it as sometimes for some, it's for younger folks, perhaps, it's not quite seen as like the worst thing that could ever happen, having said that, I feel like, Munson's statement was a little soft. on the event when she really could have just hammered home like what an abomination this was, simply because it's not something that should be happening during the workday with state property, period. Like,
That's
you
right.
know, I mean that should have been enough. But if like, and so I honestly feel like the statement was a little soft on the thing, punting it to the speakers, you know, the speaker's chamber. So, but beyond that, like there's so much potential to really annihilate a lot of the, you know, the sense that the moral stance of Republicans.
Yes, and there it's a drip, drip, drip story, a new story every day. For example, whoever this fellow was that he was trying to promote, the American patriotic virtual whatever thing yesterday, that's day number two or three. Who is this guy? Well, this guy was an earlier pornographer accused of it. How did he meet him? Well, that's story number three, day number
Well, and
three.
Corey DeAngelis, let's not forget his connection to Corey DeAngelis, who is also connected to porn.
That's what I'm talking about. So this isn't, it shouldn't be, can't be. And the Democrats, if they blow this opportunity to display for the public who these fraudsters really are, or at least this fraudster, then it's their own damn fault. As you said, too soft.
I mean, because I just don't think in a state like Oklahoma, you can take the high-minded approach of, well, porn's not bad. You know what? It is when it's on a state-owned computer.
Right. And secondly, it's one thing, for people to kick Bill Clinton around because of his misbehavior in the White House. Okay. You've got a guy here that's wrapped himself in the holy cloth from the moment he arrived on 23rd Street and said, "Look at me. I'm here to save your children. I love your children. Nobody else loves your children more
It's
than
so
I love
creepy.
children. Let me hold them," and blah, blah, blah. That kind of thing, the higher you are, the further you can fall. And nobody has played the game to this degree, like Ryan Walters in my 30 or 40 or 50 years of watching this kind of activity. There have been other goofballs, but he really stands out.
I mean, my sense though is like this is just the first part of, I mean, okay, so two things, and I know we're kind of like trying to keep it a little short today, but two things. Maybe someone did plant it. If so, hats off to them, right? I mean, in case that did happen, but two, it certainly wasn't the first time it was up there. If that's if there, you know what I mean? Like this was not a single incident of porn that just happened to get caught during a stupid, you know, executive session, right? So, I mean, I would expect in the coming days to see, just like we're seeing on the national level, with more and more coming out about the Epstein story and the way the Trump administration has been bungling it. You know, how we find out that the attorney general briefed, you know, President Trump, saying that he was named in these files that they're saying don't exist, right? Like,
Right.
I think we're going to start seeing the journalistic machine is going to start working. And I would be surprised if we don't find out that this has been a routine or it's happened more than just this one time.
You're right. I agree with that. And if it had been some fluke, somebody else did it, or if the machine had suddenly decided, I'm going to show channel Triple X instead of Big Bird, you would expect a normal person to jump up in the room and say, "My God, what was that?"
You absolutely nailed it. That's what you know what I have a vision that what they hit the wrong button. He thought he was putting Big Bird up on there, and he got Big Bird Does Dallas. And
He got a big bird up on the
it's like, oh, that was not what we thought it was.
I mean, so like, I mean,
But
you're right.
He didn't. He tried to figure out how to turn the damn machine off, and they all hunkered down, tried to go on with the meeting. Then they come out in public. I watched it. They go on with their nonsense, and at one point he makes fun of the so-called woke crowd who had booed and been upset about the work he's wanting to do with the Arizona connection. And I reckon those two folks that night were sitting around in their own homes saying, "What did we just see, do, or whatever?" And probably talked to each other and said, "Did you see what I saw?" "Yes, I did. And what are we going to do about it?" Well, I don't know what they did about it, but somebody did something with the press because Murray Evans had it within, what, 6, 8, 10 hours?
Yeah. And Murray is a hell of a good reporter. If people are not familiar with his work, he is he's been around a good long while and he knows what he's doing. He's a pro. So
I would imagine right now they're going to be really worried about links at OSDE, and we're going to see a bit of that again, because there's no way this was a one-time event. There's no way.
Yes, and also in the meeting yesterday, or whenever it was, Thursday, I believe this is now Saturday, there was no explanation for the missing secretary who had, I think secretary, who had been doing the minutes, or the lady that had been a part of the process. There was a brand new person sitting there. So there's a myriad of unanswered questions related to, for example, how are these salaries set, and who does the hiring? The statute says that the board hires a lawyer, and what's his name says to the board, "I don't care what it says, I'm in charge here." I mean, it's just, as you said, this is not a one-off. This is a multitude of mistakes, errors, purposeful bad behavior that cannot be put back in the bottle.
So let's think of one last thing here, real quick, and because this is something we're obviously, I think, going to be talking about for a while longer. If this is the end of Ryan Walters' regime, which it could very well be,
How does that work if he leaves office?
are we really, I guess, potentially better off with Kevin Stitt picking a successor?
Well, if he's trying to smooth his legacy,
Well, maybe that's a good thought. Yeah.
because
Maybe
he's trying.
I should be more hopeful.
Well, I mean, no, not
No.
necessarily, but I mean, remember his response to allowing ICE into schools going to go after children, right? Like, if he's trying to smooth his legacy for outside Oklahoma, somewhere where he will be forced to be more moderate, he could name somebody who is not a total douchebag, right? Like, it's possible. But I mean, because and he's a lame duck at this point, right? So like he literally like has nothing to like to lose, other than trying to like set the path for the next step of his career that's apparently not back in the mortgage industry. So
And that's such a key point. I think you need to think about what Al Stitt views this. From my outside observation of him, his first thought in the morning is, "What can I do to help myself, ingratiate myself, further me?" That's what I think of Kevin Stitt when I have to think about him. So there's no game for
God
him.
forbid.
Yeah, he can't just let this rock along. I think he actually has Hobson's choice here to mix metaphors. He has no choice.
It was the janitor. Is that?
No, he's got to bring pressure to bear to get rid of the guy. He is his creation. And so his hands are dirty in this deal. He's got to get rid of him. He can't let it just lay around for 6, 8, 10, 12 months, because it's too juicy. And as you said, Marianne, there are other tentacles here that are going to pop up, like a bunch of people have been fired, 200 or 300 of them, out of the department. You think they don't know things that they're going to be anxious to tell the working press? Of course they do.
Maybe those NDAs don't matter anymore.
That's right. That's right. They don't matter 24/7, probably. So I believe that there's more to be heard. Stitt has to get involved in getting rid of the guy. And regardless of who he appoints, I mean, who could he appoint that could be more of an embarrassment for education in Oklahoma than the guy that he appointed? We're 50th. That was part of the discussion.
You know, I mean, and I didn't even think about that piece of it, how it was announced that, you know, our education system has dropped to 50th in the nation. And it's just like, because I just wonder if, like, Stitt's been like, how the hell do I get out of this situation, right? And like now it's like all kind of a perfect lightning in a bottle opportunity to, you know, fully sever himself from, not that I don't want to do Kevin Stitt any favors, okay, but I mean, just like, this is like the best opportunity. We've sunk to the bottom of the country. We are, you know, not even the top 10, we're the bottom one.
That's exactly right. And nobody can use the excuse of, oh my God, oil has dropped to $9 a barrel. We're busted. There's no money in the rainy day fund. There's no savings accounts. There's none of that. The legislature's been all the problem. Baloney. He's written 7 budgets.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have hurt public education. They have $3 billion at least in savings accounts or rainy day funds. He can't cover this up and keep that guy as a part of his educational umbrella in Oklahoma. He is the creation of the nightmare we have, not only financially, but from the point of view of the guy who apparently likes, or we think he likes, some stuff that shouldn't be on a television in
a state-funded television, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's his own Frankenstein. That's his own Frankenstein.
That's right.
Okay, we'll see if he does right. I don't like trust these guys to do the right thing, but I mean, this is a great opportunity.
That isn't what I said.
Right.
I don't trust these guys to do the right thing.
No.
But when completely cornered, it's kind of like all the Indian fighter General Custer. When he was down to the last bullet or something, he might have said, you know, I kind of underestimated the bind I'm in. So I can't just sit there and just go on like it's a normal Monday. He's got to get involved.
But don't be surprised if it's someone like David Bullard or Julie Daniels or somebody like that, as opposed to Adam Pugh, who would be a lot more sensible in that position. So... you're right. I don't underestimate the ability to pick the wrong person. So.
Yeah, there's plenty of bad actors available in Oklahoma to hurt public education. But the question that was posed was, can he do worse? I don't think so.
Dusty Devers, Joseph Silk.
Okay.
Yeah, we can.
Warren Hamilton. Oh, come on. We can go down the list.
Oh, my God.
Rob Standard is looking for a job in state government again.
We could speak this into existence, but yeah.
God help us.
Jim Olson. Oh, my God. What did I just say?
You did. You said it.
Oh, God.
Well, J.J. Humphrey wants a statewide position.
Okay, you two. Do you want anybody? God,
we better wrap this up.
I said it. Oh,
before people driving and listening to this on their, you know, on their way to work, drive off into the ditch and
into the light.
That was the end of it. They were listening to ObserverCast, and boom.
Sorry, everyone. I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
And it isn't even 5 o'clock yet on a Saturday afternoon, folks. So this is all, we're all
oh
a sober-minded spirit here.
I'm going to go out of the country and come back to, like...
Yeah, who knows?
Well, you'll probably read about it over there. I mean,
Oh yeah, you know I'm going to be like scrolling when I can't sleep in the middle of the night. Be like, holy shit, what did they do?
Yeah, the Guardian will let you know.
I know. All right, you guys, this was fun.
Thanks. It was a hoot. Yeah, Cal, appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of ObserverCast. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends about us and share our episodes far and wide on social media. If you're interested in sponsoring ObserverCast, please give Arnold Hamilton a call at 405-478-8700 or drop him an email at ahamilton@okobserver.org. You can also support ObserverCast with a tax-deductible donation to the Oklahoma Observer Democracy Foundation, whose mission is to help create a better, more informed Oklahoma. And to help keep us on the air, visit okobserver.org and click on the Donate button on the upper right side of the homepage. We also urge you to subscribe to the Oklahoma Observer, now in its 55th year of comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. We have a special digital subscription rate for ObserverCast listeners, only $1.99 a month for the first year. That's 50% off the usual rate for monthly digital subscribers. Just use the coupon code ObserverCast when checking out to get the discount rate. And finally, we want to thank Jared Deck for the music you're listening to in the background here. He's not just a resident of Norman anymore. He is now the Oklahoma State Representative for House District 44. Congratulations, Representative Deck. We're so proud of you. But you can still download his albums at iTunes and learn more, including dates for any upcoming performances at jareddeckmusic.com.